Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We started yesterday the pasuk Batahma lebala veshalal lo yachsar. We spoke yesterday that there is certain bitachon of the lev, of the heart, that a husband could feel from his wife, a certain security that he can feel from her that brings a tremendous beracha into his life. Veshalal, and the spoils that come from the wars of life. He spoke yesterday how life has many battles. Daily, we're battling every day to succeed in many areas. The spoils is the reward of the victories. Veshalal lo yachsar. The victories of a husband that has this security that comes from his wife has tremendous beracha and tremendous hatzlacha. It's not only a husband to a wife, it's also a wife from a husband. When a wife feels also the bitachon, when she also feels security from her husband, it also gives her strength. Veshalal lo yachsar, she also has wars. She also has battles. So this is the home that Shlomo HaMelech advises us to build, where we have put the ingredients that the spouse feels the security, a security of their heart. And yesterday we gave one important condition for that bitachon to come. How does an Eshet Chayil put this security in her husband? What does she do? So yesterday we spoke about the Eshet Chayil when it comes to decisions that are relevant to her husband and maybe even relevant to her. She leads him and advises him and cares for him from his point of view. She looks out for him, even if sometimes from her own perspective, for her own needs, maybe there's a different path. But she advises him in what's good for his path. When a person feels that his spouse, when it comes to decisions, is worrying about their results and their future, that brings them a batahba lev bala. That brings a security of the heart. And we gave yesterday an example of the wife of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Another famous story in Tanakh which expresses this pasuk beautifully is what we find in Parashat Korah. The pasuk over there discusses the revolution that Korah and many important people of his generation got together against Moshe Rabbeinu. They claim that Moshe and Aharon are taking the leadership all for their own benefit. And they wanted to open it up to everybody. And hence they went against Moshe Rabbeinu, as the pasuk says, Vayikach Korah. Korah took. Who else was with Korah in the main leadership? Datan and Aviram. They were also with him on top. Ve'on ben Pelet.
These are the four people mentioned in the first pasuk. Vayikach Korah,
Vedatan the Aviran, Ve'on ben Pelet. Who did they take with them? The pasuk says, Vayakumu lifne Moshe, they got up before Moshe, against him. Va'anashim b'nei Yisrael hamishim u'matayim, they took with them from the greatest people in that generation, 250 men, nesi'ei aida, leaders. Keri'ei mo'ed. Keri'ei mo'ed means whenever there was a gathering, an important gathering, they would be invited first. And Sheshem, they were men with a great name. Vayikahalu al Moshe ve'al Aharon. And they gathered against Moshe and Aharon. Vayomeru alehem, and they said to them, Rav lachem, took too much for yourselves. Ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. They claimed the entire congregation, the Jewish people, are all holy. Uptocham Hashem, Hashem is in their midst. Umadu atitnaseu al ke'al Hashem. Why do you guys raise yourself above the congregation? So again, Korah, the only four people mentioned by name, 250 are mentioned by category. But four people are mentioned by name. These seems to be the four leaders. Korah, Datan, Aviram, and On Ben Pelet. And Hazal tell us that we don't hear any more about On Ben Pelet in the parasha. He's no longer mentioned. He's only mentioned in the first pasuk. Datan and Aviram are mentioned. Korah is mentioned. But On Ben Pelet is invisible. He's gone. What happened to him? So there's a midrash, a very famous midrash. But it's a very important midrash to read and to analyze. Amar Rav, says the midrash, On Ben Pelet ishto hitzilato. On Ben Pelet, his wife saved her. Says the midrash, Amrale, when he came in that day, all hot, she said to him, where are you coming from? He told her, we're having a big deal. We're having a very big revolution. That I'm leaving. I'm in the leadership role. We're going against Moshe Rabbeinu. She told him, Ma lach behade pelukte? What do you gain from this revolution? Tell me, what are you gaining from this? I Aharon kahana rabba. If Aharon will become the Kohen Gadol, at Talmida, you could be his student. I Korah kahana rabba. If Korah becomes the Kohen Gadol, at Talmida, you could be his student. So either way, you're shining somebody's shoes. Either way, you're a student. So what do you need to get involved in? Who's going to win? What reason do you have to commit yourself to one side when you don't stand to gain either way? If you're going to become the leader of the Jewish people, if you're going to become a Kohen Gadol, okay, I hear you. I'm with you. But that's not going to happen. That's not what this fight's about. So if you're going to be a student of either one, why would you commit yourself to one side? You're risking for no reason. In life, sometimes you have to take risks, but there has to be an upside. There's no upside to this risk. Now you have to know this line that his wife said. This is a batahba lev bala line. And I'm going to explain to you why. This line that she told him, what do you gain from this mahloket, is a batahba lev bala line. Why? Because this woman was obviously a very righteous woman. And as you know, there are 13 principles for every believing Jew, that the absence of one of them makes the person lacking in emunah and is a kofir, which makes the person outside of Judaism. These are 13 principles. He's a Jew, of course, by birth, but he's lacking the emunah that it takes to be a Jew in practice. 13 principles. One of the 13 principles is that Moshe Emet. Moshe is Emet. Emet means he is the one that brought us Hashem's Torah. Ve'torato Emet. And his Torah is Emet. That's one of the principles of an active Jew. What should his wife tell him? Is this a scenario where she should say to him, listen, what's the difference? Who wins? Moshe wins, Korach wins. What's the difference? At the end of the day, you're a Talmid either way. You could say that if the two partners in the business are fighting and you're going to go and take sides on one of them. Smart wife will say, listen, what are you getting involved? Either way, you're an employee. That makes sense. But in this specific argument, you're talking about one of the fundamentals of Judaism. How does she tell her husband, what's the difference? Who wins? If Moshe wins, Aharon wins, Korah wins, what are you talking about? That's not one of those things that you could say, who cares who wins? This is a fundamental in Jewish faith. She should have told on, are you out of your mind? Did I marry a kofer? Did you forget Moshe Rabbeinu? Did you forget Har Sinai? Weren't you there with us? Didn't you see God talk to him? Did you forget the splitting of the sea? Did you forget the man? Did you forget? What are you doing? It's not what I signed up for. I married a God-fearing man. I married an authentic Jew. On, you've gone off the derech. You've become a kofir. I will not have this. Isn't that what a righteous woman would tell her husband? If he comes home and he starts to deny the fundamental beliefs of a Jew. So what is going on with this great woman that she tells her husband, what's the difference? In that line, she belittled Moshe and Aharon tremendously. She made Korach and Moshe and Aharon equal. What's the difference, she tells him. What do you mean, what's the difference? Why didn't she tell him the truth? And this is what makes this line that we read a batahba lev ba'ala line. You see, Om Ben Pelet's wife saw from her husband's perspective that at this moment she wouldn't be able to help him by saying the truth. He is so invested in what he's doing that he is completely blind and will not hear a word that she's saying. So on her, from her own perspective, of course, she should say, you are off. You're doing the wrong thing. From her own perspective, that's the right thing to say. But she's looking at her husband for her husband. She's putting herself in his shoes. Because to help someone, be'emet, you have to be in their shoes so that you are able to communicate with them. For someone to feel secure in a relationship, they have to feel that when a person talks to them, that they know where they're coming from. And they address their needs from their perspective. So knowing that On Ben Pelet is not going to be able to hear the truth that she will say, that she believed in. She actually belittled herself by equating Moshe and Korach. That's belittling myself. That I have to go and say, what's the difference who wins? I sound like a kofer myself. She put herself out there and is written in the Midrash for eternity that she belittled herself by acting like a kofer. Anyone who reads this Midrash and doesn't know how to really explain it will say, oh, what a terrible woman this is. What a terrible woman. What? She's equating Moshe. A woman who belittles herself to look like she denies one of the critical principles of Judaism so that she can talk to her husband from where he is. That's called Batahba Lebala. She's seeing it through his eyes. She's not concerned about what she thinks or how she's going to look. She wants to help him at all costs. Such a way is a great example of how you feel secure with somebody else when they're willing to put themselves out for you. And then the Midrash says that she knew that her husband, despite her clear, obvious argument that there's no reason to be involved, that much he could hear. Because she saw he just wanted to win. So she explained to him, either way, you're going to be a winner. Not either way, you're going to be a loser. Either way, you're going to be a winner. If you win now, what's going to happen? You're going to be a talmid of a great man. You're going to be a talmid. You're not going to be a zero. So either way, you're going to be a talmid of a great person. So there's no reason for you to risk this. Ah, that he could hear. Because what does he want? He wants to be somebody. She told him, you'll be somebody either way. Nice. But she knew that despite all that, he's still powerless. Because remember, he's from the hierarchy of the revolution. He made commitments. He made speeches. He's all in. So when they're going to come and get him to go to the place of the revolution, she knows that despite the fact that he heard her, he could not find the strength to do it. She knew that much. You know, sometimes you tell someone something so logical, you say, okay, it's it, it's over. Of course you're going to follow because 1 + 1 = 2, right? See it? 2. And you say, okay, we're done, it's over. And then the next day, you see they don't do 2. So I don't understand, didn't we speak yesterday? Can I be more clear? But that's looking at things from your perspective. You're very clear, you understand, they also understand, but you're forgetting that they have a monstrous challenge. You forgot they're committed to people. There is a kavod element. There's an element of embarrassment. Yeah, for you, you're doing math in your notebook and you're coming out, it's easy, it's pashut, simple. But you got to remember, the person is involved. So despite her clarity, and despite that he agreed with her, but she also knew, looking at her husband, not herself, she's done, she's good. Argument over. Knockout, TKO, over. Who could argue with this? But despite that, she knew her husband would not be able to stand up to the people that he's already involved in. So already anticipating, and me and you would have said, I brought the best argument, it's black on white, it's over, we're done. And now you're waiting to see if the person will still do the dumb move. You know how sometimes you tell someone something and it's clear and you almost want them to do it because you're waiting to see, okay, let me see how crazy my husband is. But after all this, is he still going to do it? And she's going to sit there in the bleachers waiting to see what will happen. Almost, I don't want to say wishing, but almost anticipating that he will go against logic so that she can go and tell him, pounce on him. Sometimes you like to do that. We just like wait on the sidelines. Seems weird to do that. But that's what we do. It's like a competition type thing. Let's see after what I told you. Let's see. She didn't do that. She put herself in his mind and she put herself in his challenge and she realized it's not going to be easy for him. So instead of waiting on the sidelines and watching from the bleachers, which a lot of us do, a lot of us do that with our children. We tell them the way it is and then we wait to see what will they do. Hoping they'll do right, but at the same time, maybe even anticipating the wrong. Somehow we like to get offended. There's something very attractive about being offended by our children, by our spouse. She didn't sweat in the sidelines. She put herself in his shoes, says the Midrash, Ma'avat, what did she do? What does she have to do? She told him already. What is there to do? No. She understood. I gotta help him. Says the Midrash, Ashkite Hamra. She gave him some heavy wine. I guess heavier than usual. And he got drunk. Be'agnite be'arsa. She put him to sleep in the bed. Now he's out. She knew her husband couldn't handle it. You know what she did? She put him away. Unbelievable. She knew he couldn't handle it. Instead of saying, well, why shouldn't he handle it? What's the problem? She put him in prison. She put him away. And she says, I'm going to handle it for him too. Not only did I have to convince him, but I also have to act for him also. And that wasn't easy either. Because says the Midrash, how is she gonna fight the people coming to get him? He's their leader. And these are all important. These are all the greatest rabbis of the generation. So Midrash says she did the unimaginable. She sat by the entrance of her tent. Vesatra lemazia, and she undid her covering of her hair. She uncovered her hair. I have to know something. For a woman who covers her hair, even in today's time, a woman who covers her head would not be able to uncover her hair in public. Forget sin, forget avera. She can't do it. It's not possible for her. She would feel something totally wrong. She can't do it. It's embarrassing for us. Not, it's like taking off something that reveals something not appropriate. But you can't do it. Even in today's world, a woman who covers her hair cannot do this. And she certainly wouldn't do it in front of rabbis. It's embarrassing. She goes, in that time, how much more embarrassing? She goes and she uncovers her hair in public. Do you understand what kind of mesirut nefesh this is? Of sacrifices is? It's a spiritual sacrifice. It's a social sacrifice. Imagine the talk when the men come and they see this woman, this perutza. Imagine the words they say about her. What kind of home is this? What kind of pritzut over here? Did you imagine Hazit, this guy on Ben Pelet, what he's dealing with this woman? Could you imagine what she took from all the people that saw her? All to do her husband's job. Why? Because she knows he can't do it. All he has to do is say, I'm not coming. That's all he has to do. She has to embarrass herself in public in the most demeaning way because she knows her husband just can't do it. Even though what he's going to do is easier than her. Says the Midrash, of course, when they saw her, they would not get close to such a person. And they quickly moved away. And whatever happened, happened. The ground swallowed up everybody. And On Ben Pelet was saved by her husband, by his wife. That's an example of Batahba Lebala. So many little details in that story. We've all heard the story of On Ben Pelet's wife. But you have to realize every step of the way, there is an example of Batahba Lebala. Batahba Lebala comes when you put yourself in somebody else's shoes. And you see things from their perspective. And you act on it based on your understanding. When someone feels the other person in this manner, they feel secure. Wow, look what they're doing for me. Look how much they put me in their shoes. When a person feels such a person acting in this way, they feel bitahon v'shala lo yehsar. The victories of life On Ben Pelet scored a victory, huge victory for him and his family and his children. Could have been wiped out like all the other people for eternity, wiped out. He scored a major victory. Veshalal lo yasar. Because batahba lebala. The beracha that comes from such bitahon is not only for On Ben Pelet. It's for every single relationship. And it goes both ways. Husband to his wife, a wife to her husband. There are situations in life that come up where we need to put ourselves in the other person's shoes and see it from their perspective and act perhaps from their perspective. It is then where the beracha comes into that home. Beshala lo yasar. And the Midrash tells us how opposite this can be. They give us the example of the opposite of batahba lebala.
by the wife of Korah.
The Midrash says that the wife of Korah was not very pleased with her husband's ranking. She felt like she wasn't hashuv enough being the wife of Korah. She would call him a loser. She'd say, yeah,
you're a very great man. You're very smart. You know a lot of Torah. You're a tzaddik. Chazak u'baruch.
But what are you getting for it? Look at you. You're not even in the leadership. Your cousin got a job ahead of you. She ain't made him feel unproductive. In fact, the Midrash says one specific thing, how far it went. It says one day, she sees her husband Korah come home, and he's fully shaved.
The Leviim in the Midbar, they had
take a razor and shave all the hair on their body. Top to bottom. Al kol besaram. A husband comes home. That's not a very normal look. That's not a bad haircut. I mean, it's, wow, what happened? Korah, what happened?
Dude.
What is this? You look terrible. She tells him, the Midrash says, Al kol besaro, al rosho, al zekano, on his beard, no more beard, no more hair on his head. Amra lo ishto, mitzvecha, mitzveotcha, la'asot kach. You already see from the question, you already see the attitude. Who told you to do this? In other words, you are not your own man. You didn't do this on your own. For sure, someone took advantage of you. That's what it means. Mitzivat chalasot. Who took advantage of you? Very often, a woman, without realizing, can make her husband feel that other people are controlling him. In different ways, that she could say in different tones, that's called belittling her husband. Mi tziva otcha la'asot kach? Who made you do this? Who's controlling you? Amar la Moshe. He told him, Moshe, he told me to do this. Amra lo ishto, makes sense. Moshe son achau, you know, he hates you, you know that. You know Moshe doesn't care for you. You know every opportunity he belittles you, doesn't give you an opportunity to advance. He tells her, oh, she says to him, Velotzi velecha la'asot kach, he only told you to do this. Ela lebazotcha, he just wants to belittle you, he wants to embarrass you. Walks around like this. Amar la vegam lebanav tziva. You see her husband Korah, not such a bad guy. He's fighting with her. We think Korah one day woke up and said, I want to go with Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not true. Even when she belittles Moshe Rabbeinu to him, he's defending Moshe Rabbeinu. Korah is defending Moshe Rabbeinu. He tells him, what are you talking about? He told his own children to do this. All the Leviim did it. What are you saying? That he hates me, he wants to belittle me. His own kids. You see Korah's real face? That's the real Korah right there. Hazal tell us, Tzadik katamar yifrah. Tzadik, the end of the letters of Tzadik is Kof. Katamar, Resh, Yifrah, Het, Korah. So he's a great man, Korah. And here comes. Amraloba, she's relentless. She has her feelings and her kavod. She doesn't care. She's belittling her husband, making him feel bad. Amralov. Yeah, okay, big deal, he told his kids. Umahu hoshesh. Hu omer, tamut nafshi emecha. Sometimes a person to belittle someone of great value like you is willing to take the hit with his own kids. So just so he can embarrass you and belittle you, he was willing to put a facade and tell his own children to make it look like it's normal. Tamut nafshi im pelishtim. That's what Shimshon says. Let my soul die with the pelishtim. Relentless. Says the Midrash, Kesheshama od. More of this, imagine this on a daily basis. The feelings, you know, you don't bring enough money. You're not matzliach. You're not successful. You have no friends. Yeah, all kinds of comments. A spouse, a husband and wife have to be very, very careful. Very careful that when they make comments to their spouse, that it should not come from their own feelings, that they're lacking something, and make the person feel low. Because such comments take away batahba lebala. When you make a person feel second, third, fourth, you make them feel not successful, you make them feel that they're not doing what others might be doing. All those comments, it brings batahba lebala down, and then the worst of all, vishala lo yahsar, doesn't happen. The beracha of shalal, of the victories of life, will not happen by a person who feels let down, who feels that they're not successful based on the words of their spouse. Be very careful not to make the person feel that way. Because a person who has such feelings cannot get the other person to feel secure. When I think you think like this of me, I don't feel secure with it. I maybe don't express it with words. I maybe don't even know how to express it with words. But I don't feel secure in this relationship because you don't respect me. You don't think I'm somebody. There's no batahba lebala in that. Sometimes we think the opposite. Sometimes we think we're giving the spouse hizuk. We're going to give them strength by telling them, you know, you're lacking this. You know, you're failing here. You know, your friends don't respect you. We think we're like doing it so that we can give them the strength to go and fight the battles. You know, your friends don't invite you. They don't care about you. This, that. Your boss doesn't appreciate you, hasn't given you a raise in 3 years. You're not appreciated. For sure, with good intentions. We want to give them hizu to go fight. Little do they know that that's not hizuk. That's causing them a lack of security in you because you look at them negatively. And then the battles that they're fighting, they become weaker in. And they don't get the spoils of the victories. This is the story of Korah. She took a man who believed in Moshe Rabbeinu, a man who was a great person, who was happy where he was. But she belittled him. She made him feel worthless. and that brought him to his destruction. Instead of shalal lo yahsar, he ended up in destruction for eternity. This is the story of every marriage and every good relationship or opposite. I'll just end off with a very famous story. We mentioned this story a while ago, but I want to focus on one point of it. One of the great rabbis in the history of our people, that today you'll see every yeshiva in the world, you'll see the Talmidim are involved in trying to understand what he wrote, what he said, what he meant, what he didn't mean, is the great Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Akiva Eiger, all it takes is to learn one piece of his words and realize his gadlut, his greatness, something very, very special. Rabbi Akiva Eiger lived a few hundred years ago, and there was a tragedy that took place in his family after his daughter got married. A few months later, his wife tragically passed away. Already by the Shiva, the rabbi started to feel certain pains, certain stomach pains that he had throughout his life, and he attributed these pains from the suffering of losing his wife. In one of the letters he wrote in those days, he says, "My thoughts are confused. Ra'yonai nevuchim. Libi sagur. My heart is closed." This is a great, great pillar of Torah. His whole life he was learning. Ve'yadi katsra melehit yashem b'shum anyan. He says, I can't find the ability to focus on any subject. Rabbi Akiva Eiger can't learn. So his family, seeing this difficult sight after the shloshim of his wife, they quickly tried to find him a shiduch. They figured he's suffering without a wife, so let's get him a wife. So the very famous letter that he wrote back to them, he says, "Ha'im netatuni le'avir ve'roach lev." He says to them, "Have you guys considered me to be a cruel and heartless man? Ki amaher la'asot shiduch bimei evli, while I'm still in mourning, I should quickly go find a replacement for my wife. Ha'im eshkach ahavat eshet ne'orim? Shall I forget the great love of my youth? Yonati tamati, my dove, my perfect one." And then he says, "Hi haita be'ezri." Now he's explaining why he's in such agony, why he can't move on, why he's getting sick. What is it? You miss her company, you miss the talks. What exactly you miss it? "Hi haita be'ezri." He says, "She was my helper. Leham'at Torat Hashem Hashem Bekirvi, the little Torah that I have. She was always helping me. Hi haita shomeret leroshi. She would be guarding, shielding me. She shielded my mind. Lehashgiach al gufi halash v'nitke. She thought about my weaknesses physically, and she always shielded me. She protected me. watching over my weak and broken body. He histira mimeni da'agata parnasa. She hid from me the concerns and the worries of al parnasa. She hid from him. In other words, she didn't have what to make dinner, but she knew that would bother him. So she hid it from him, and she figured out a way to get food without making him crazy. You hear these words? Histira mimeni da'agata parnasa. Instead of saying, I don't have money to buy dinner tonight, what should we do? She realized that that would disturb him. Again, not every marriage is the same, and not everyone's married to Rabbi Akiva Eiger. That's not the point. But the point, she knew her husband, and she knew what his priorities were, and she knew what was his greatness. And she understood that talking to him about the dinner that she has no money to buy is going to be disturbing him in his path of greatness. Not every husband's like that, but this was his issue. So what did she do? She hid it from him. He come home and there's dinner. She had to go and beg and ask, and she figured it out. Histira mimeni da'agata parnasa shelo lehashviteni me'avodat Hashem. So I shouldn't have an interruption in my service of Hashem. He says, Gadol kayam shivri. He says, my destruction is as vast as the sea. Makati anusha. My wound is incurable. Olam hashach ba'adi. The world has gone dark for me. Notice these powerful words. What are they coming from? From which aspect of the relationship? Not I feel lonely. I need someone to talk to, someone to share with. That's what most people feel. That wasn't the issue with him. He lost batahba lebala. The man lost his strength. He lost shalal lo yahsar. He had a person with him who was worried about him. So much so that she would protect him. So much so that she would hide things from him that would bother him. That's what he couldn't get over. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you know how many talmidim he had? You know how many people in his town would take care of him?
Wouldn't have him always.
What is he saying? Parnasa. You know, people will give him anything he wants. People will take care of him in every way that's needed. Well, he's missing service. That's what he's worried about. He's missing someone to serve him.
So,
he's missing batahba lebala. He's missing someone who put him as their priority. He's missing the feeling of security that came from his wife. That's irreplaceable. That's not a dinner. It's not a plate. It's a certain strength that comes from knowing that I have someone who puts me first, who's worried about me. Security that leads to success over Rabbi Akiva Eiger. You see all his books. You see all his greatness. You know where that shalal came from? He was a winner in life, Rabbi Akiva Eiger. From all the great Jews in history, he was one of the shining stars. Remember, that shalal, that victory, the spoils, came from batahba lebala. From a wife who was concerned and showed that concern about him, even when it was hard for her. This is words of great wisdom for any married person. Like I said, a husband and wife. We gave examples of a wife or a husband, but it applies the other way as well. Because they both fight milhamot. They fight wars in their life constantly. A wife is fighting, a husband is fighting. The greatest chesed a wife can do for her husband and vice versa is to inject in the spouse batahba lebala. I'm thinking about you. I worry about you. My decisions for you are for you. It is there where you will find shalal lo yahsar. You'll find the victories of life.
Yeah. Have a wonderful